I hope you're ready for Mother's Day, but if not, I've got the greatest gift idea ever. Well, sort of. Welcome to Fathering Our Future. I'm Anthony Vandegrift. I'm not the perfect dad, but every day I am trying to be better. With Mother's Day quickly approaching, I hope that you get your wife something, but I want to talk to you about something that you can commit to your wife that is more valuable than any material thing that you can buy for her. If you want to be a part of helping dads grow as disciple makers and making them aware of Fathering Our Future, you can help, and here is what I want you to do. I want you to leave a 5-star rating for this podcast and write a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'll take a screenshot of that and send it to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com, I have a gift for you. I wrote a book called Cut the Crap, Direct Tips for Becoming a Dad. I cannot send you the physical copy, but I will send you the electronic copy of this book. And technically, you'll get a little bit more because the ebook has additional references that are linked all throughout it. So this is my gift for you for rating and reviewing this podcast. Again, send that to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com. And by doing that, you're helping create awareness of this podcast, and ultimately, you're helping dads grow as disciple makers. Our scripture for this week is Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." Well, Mother's Day is quickly approaching. Depending on when you listen to this episode, you might have already missed it. So hopefully you can still take my idea and recommendation and start to apply it to your life, because I do want to tell you something that it's going to benefit you, but it's also going to be a huge benefit to your wife, and it's also going to be a blessing to your children. Now, while I'm going to talk to you about something that's immaterial, I also want you to find something material for your wife, the mother of your children, for Mother's Day. Don't say, "Well, I listened to a podcast and he recommended this and I forgot to go to the store." Don't blame me for being lazy. You go get your wife something, do something great for her. It doesn't have to be the biggest, most grand thing ever. It just needs to be something thoughtful. It needs to show her that you pay attention, that you recognize the kind of mother that she is, that you see her devotion, that you see her commitment as a mom, and the gift that you get her needs to let her know that she is seen and that she is heard. And if you've listened to this podcast over the last 2 or 3 months, maybe you have taken the idea of writing things down to heart, and you have a note on your phone or a physical notepad. I don't care how you do it, but you've got little notes written down about your wife, things that she likes, things that she wants, activities that she would like to participate in. And then you've got a cool resource to pull from for gift ideas. So I want you to do that, because you got to give her something. You got to let her know in a physical way, in a material way, that you value her. But my gift idea isn't just for Mother's Day. It is for every day. It is something that I want you to make a commitment to as a husband. It's going to bless your wife. It's also going to bless you, and it's going to bless your children. Now, let me tell you what actually brought about this idea for me. I came across an article in AP News, and it was about the birth rate in the United States. They said that in 2023, there were 3.6 million babies born, and that correlated with the lowest birth rate that the CDC can point to with all of the historic data that they have. Now, if you go back and you watch the trend of the birth rate has steadily declined, but there was a spike. There was a spike in 2021 and 2022, and I think we're still close enough to that period of time where you can probably guess why. We had COVID, we had the pandemic, and people had to stay at home. So what happened is husbands and wives spent more time together. Maybe you were working at home, but on your lunch break, who did you get to see? Your beloved. You didn't have to deal with that 1 hour plus long drive through horrendous traffic just to get home, and then feel like you're grumpy and aggravated and need to step out of the house for a moment just to get all your emotions intact. No, when you were done with work, you had all of this extra time with your wife. People spent more time together. And what happened? People started making babies. Now, This is the gift that I want you to commit to giving to your time, not where your mind just went to the gutter, but that's kind of a part of it. I'll give you partial credit, but I want you to commit to giving your wife time, because when you give your wife time, data show us that you make more babies. Now, maybe you're done having babies, but that doesn't mean you're done with the baby making process. And I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is one of those things that my wife and I call a gift that's for you, for me. We do this all the time. My wife wants to buy something. Maybe it's an article of clothing or something like that. I'll say, yes, I got this for you, but it's also for me. And I think you kind of catch the hint there. But this gift of time to your wife does have this, let's call it a side effect for today's purposes, of the baby-making process. At least that's what we see when we actually look at data. So this is a benefit to you in a physical sense, but that's not the only benefit that you get. Now, all fun aside, at least for the moment, I want you to make this commitment to giving your time to your wife. I think when you do this, I think you're going to find a sense of fulfillment that is God-ordained, because this is what you are called to do as a husband. You're called to be devoted to your wife. Paul tells us this in Ephesians 5, that husbands are to love their wives in the same manner as Christ loved the church and gave himself, his entire self, for the church. We are called to give our entire self to our wife. Our time should be prioritized to go to her. Our priorities and values in this life ought to be God, our wife, and our children. And those are the top three slots. So second to God, we find our spouse. We should be giving time to our wife. Now, when you do this, you're going to find fulfillment, because this is what you are supposed to be doing. Again, from the very beginning, husbands were called to leave mom and dad, cleave to their wife, and to be one with her, to be this unity. I think so many of the problems that people face in marriage are due to the fact that they're still trying to live the same life they had before they got married. And I don't think that people were always taught the right way when it comes to marriage. I certainly was not. I went through the preparation. I went through the little videos. I had some of the counseling sessions, but for me, it was never made clear the mentality that I needed to have, the commitment that I was making. For me, it's like this. It's one thing to say I'm going to be a follower of Christ, but when I commit to being a husband, this is me committing to be like Christ in a very intimate way, because that's how I'm supposed to love my wife, in the same way that Christ was willing, even though there were moments where he said, let this cup pass from me. This is not something that I want to endure, but he did it anyway. I'm called as a husband to react and to respond the same way when it comes to my wife. Maybe this puts me out. Maybe I don't get what I want out of this. Maybe she's getting the sweet end of the deal, and I'm kind of taking the rough edges of things. That's okay, because that is the commitment that I made and that you made as a man. When you agree to be a husband, that's the commitment that we're making, to almost elevate, in a sense, from just strictly being a follower of Christ to trying to truly be like Christ, because that is how we are supposed to be, and that's how we're supposed to function in the home. But when you actually let go of self and you take hold of that identity and you start prioritizing your wife and you start giving her time, this is where you get that sense of fulfillment, because you're doing what God made you to do. It's not just about sex. It's about you start to feel like you have this new elevated sense of being and purpose. Because this unity that you've agreed to be a part of, you're actually being a part of it. Now, if you don't do that, the side effect is you either have a horribly damaged relationship where you basically agree to be roommates with somebody that you're frustrated at, that frustrates you and that you frustrate and aggravate and annoy, and it goes both ways. You agree to that. or you get divorced. And if you don't get divorced right away and you say, well, if you got kids, we'll wait till the kids are old enough and out of the house, and then we'll just go ahead and finalize the divorce, and then we'll go our own separate ways. People do that because they think it's going to be easier on the kids, and it's not. Your kids grow up, they get more life experience, they get smarter, they see what happens, and they go back and they analyze everything, and they begin to poke holes in who you claim to be, who you said you were, who you acted to be to them. And the problem with that is sometimes you're being genuine. You just had a rough marriage, but your kids don't always perceive that. It's if one thing falls, then they have to double check every single pillar of your existence and make sure that you were the man that you claimed to be to them. There's no good path outside of doing what God ordained you to do as a husband, and that is making that time commitment to your wife. Now, the other benefit for this that goes to your children is they get to see what it looks like for Christ to deal with his bride. When your children look at you, they ought to see this imagery of what Christ did and continues to do for them. They ought to see what it looks like to truly be Christ-like. It will give them a greater respect for you. It will also give them a greater respect and reverence for your wife, for their mother, because when they respect you and they see the way that you respect and honor her, almost without question, they will just follow your lead and they will respect and honor her to the same extent as you do. And you've heard of other instances and cases when this has not been the reality, but instead people have said negative things about their spouse. And what do the kids do in those situations? They adopt that same thinking. They use the same language sometimes about their parents because one of their parents or both of their parents are speaking negatively about the other parent. And the kid doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have the experience, doesn't have the contextual knowledge to know any better. And so they just follow the lead of the parents. We are leaders as fathers, which means that we go first. It means that we lead. So as we take initiative to commit time to our wives, and we love her, and we honor her, and we go out of the way to give of ourselves for her, when our children see that, they get this beautiful imagery of how Christ loves all of us. And that's a blessing to them. Yes, it models how a husband should be to them if they're a daughter. It models to them how they ought to be as a husband if they are a son. It lets them know this is what healthy relationships look like. Like, that's great and all. But for me, even more so than that is they get this beautiful image of Christ. One of the things that I was always wrong about when I was growing up is I always assumed that the greatest and closest representation of Christ to me as a young person was a pastor. That if they're a preacher, that they are just on a different level. And that is so wrong because they're just another person. The greatest representation of Christ to your children should be you. The greatest representation of Christ to my children should be me. I don't need to point the finger to the pastor of my church or to the pastor of a neighboring church and say, you need to be like him. I need to honor my devotion to my number one value and priority, God, and say, if this is how you have designed me to be a husband and a father, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pursue your design. And so I'm going to love my wife as you love the church and gave yourself entirely for it. I'm going to do that for my wife. I'm going to allow my children to see that I am going to be the best image of Christ that I can be to my kids. You benefit your wife. You bring her in this unity that she has just so willingly agreed to. She said yes, and you said yes. But when you truly live like Christ in your marriage. The submission part that we really like to talk about as husbands almost becomes a no-brainer. It's as if she doesn't even have to think about it. It is just the natural response. When we think about what Christ has done for us and how good he has been to us, I don't have to contemplate, should I honor him? Should I reverence him? Should I give him respect? I don't even have to consider that. So when we set the stage, if you will, for leading this marriage that we are a part of, it's just a blessing to her. And then it's a blessing to your children, and it's a blessing to you. And then you have that baby-making process side effect that we talked about at the beginning, and that's a blessing and benefit to you as well. So I want you to just be intentional about committing time to your wife, not just on Mother's Day, but on every day, because she is always your number two priority, even over the kids. And I know sometimes that's really difficult when kids are small, because they are entirely dependent upon you and they need a lot of your time and a lot of your attention. But don't neglect your wife. There might be days where your kids get a little more time than she does, but we're not talking about every single day has to look picture perfect. We're talking about mentality. We're talking about our disciplines as husbands, and we're talking about the long game. Because in the long game, kids leave, but there's one person who's going to be right next to you until death, and that's your wife. And she gets more time than the kids. So what I would advise you to do, what I would highly recommend, is make sure that you're intentional about having time with your wife. Do date nights where it's just you and just your wife. You're not bringing the kids to tag along and finding a play place. If that's the best you can do, then do it. But have a controlled space where they're safe and you can just focus and connect with your wife. If you can, use your in-laws, use your parents, use close friends that you trust with watching your kids. Get someone from the church to help babysit. Find a local church that does a parents' night out where you can bring your kids there and they will take care of them with food and activities, and you have 2 or 3 hours to go. Just talk, have a coffee, have a meal, watch a movie. Be really intentional about making that happen, because it's a blessing to your wife. It's the greatest gift that you can give her. I know I talk about time as the greatest commodity in the eyes of our children. It's true for your wife as well. It's true for your wife. I know it's very easy for us to get caught up in, I've got to make a lot of money and I've got to do a lot of big things for her, and that's what's going to keep her happy. Let me tell you something. The secret is not doing extravagant things with her. The real secret is knowing that you're doing things with your extravagant wife. You view her as the greatest thing, and all the little things that you get to do are going to be fun. They're going to be rewarding. They're going to put a smile on your face. They're going to bring you closer together. My wife and I, when we don't have the kids, it is ridiculous how many times we find ourselves going to a store, Walmart, just because we're smart when it comes to buying kids clothes. But we find ourselves often shopping for the kids, but we're alone and we're doing it together, and it makes us laugh and it brings us closer together. And it's just something that we have done, but we're doing it together, and it's isolated with just the two of us. I want you to be intentional about making those moments happen. You might be tired when you get home from work. Deal with it. Take some time to talk to your wife before you go to bed. When the kids come up and you're trying to have a conversation with your wife, don't break that conversation to tend to the kid. It's okay. And I think it's probably the right thing for you to say, I hear you. Just give me one moment. I'm talking to your mom, and I will deal with you in just 1 second. Just please wait. Let me finish this conversation. Let me finish this thought. That's not wrong for you to do, because your wife is the higher priority over your kids. So I want you to get your wife something special for Mother's Day. I want you to get her a gift that says, babe, I see you and I see that you are an incredible mom and I just want you to know that. But I also want you to make a commitment that she begins to see carried out starting the day you listen to this and every day thereafter, where you make a commitment to give her time, to be intentional about giving your wife time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have found something good. Your word tells us that when we find a wife, we find what is good. And we recognize that we have something that is beautiful, something that is good, something that is helpful, something that we honestly do not deserve. And so we give you appreciation and express thankfulness for the wives that we have. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to be intentional about our time, that we would be disciplined in devoting our time to our wife as we should, that we would live out this ordained life that you have designed, that we would be husbands like you command us to be, that even though life gets busy, even though there are moments that can be overwhelming and overbearing and really weigh us down, that even in the midst of the pain, that we will follow your lead. And even when it was something that you didn't want, you still chose to go through with it because you loved us. So God, help us that when things get tough in life and we want to just sit down, we want to just give up for a moment, that we will just bear it and that we will make that dedication to time with our wife to let her know that we love her above everything else. Give us the strength to do this and give us grace along the way as we fail. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as always, I am your partner in this thing called fatherhood, and I guess every so often I'll tap in on the marriage side of things, but this does benefit your kids, so I think it's good for us to be intentional about time with our wife. But if you need any help along the way on this journey of fatherhood, you can always reach out to me, fatheringourfuture@gmail.com, and I will be quick to get back to you. But thank you for being with me today. This is Fathering Our Future. I'm Anthony Vandegrift, and I hope you will join me next time. I want to thank you again for listening to Fathering Our Future and for endeavoring to grow as a dad. But I want to ask you to become more than just a subscriber. I want to ask you to consider becoming a supporter of Fathering Our Future. Whether it's a one-time gift today or a monthly commitment, whatever you give, it's not too small. It will contribute to Fathering Our Future, continuing to grow and to expand and to reach dads. All you have to do is go to fatheringourfuture.com, click the donate button, and give whatever you would like to give. Thank you, and God bless.